flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this, what's left of this Friday morning, time permitting. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, just hit me up on that text line. Joining us now, he is our returning champion. He did make it in time, but calling in from Orange Beach is State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, man. It's good to be with you and good to be back here looking at the beautiful water and these great new islands down here, expanded islands here in Orange Beach.
Tell us what we need to know about the expanded islands. I read a little bit about it, but you were there. Give us the 411.
Sure. This is a great project, really done with NERDA money that was kind of some BP money administered by the NERDA Natural Resources Energy Council. So they're in charge of distributing that money. Chris Blankenship with DCNR really has been leading the effort on this. And so the Nature Conservancy was the lead project manager on this project. And so they've expanded all of those islands right there at Perdido Pass that you're used to, right? The Bird Island, Robinson Island, Walker Island, et cetera, are these huge, huge expanded islands now. So more access for folks to be able to get up and enjoy them, but also more access for the birds and everything else that gets in the middle of them. So if you're still allowed to get on the beach, you just can't go tromping around the middle of the island, and that's kind of always been the case. There's just a big expanse of that and really shoring up some of those islands. So they look great. They are really, from a guy who has spent his whole life down here and running around these islands growing up as a kid, it's just really impressive to see them. They're beautiful, and I know everybody, you know, come next summer when everybody's got their boat back in the water and really going hard, it's just going to really, really enjoy them.
Yeah, and it'll give us some time to sort of get rooted in and established, right?
All the seagrass and the underwater stuff they put in, and then the stuff on the island as well, we'll give it a chance to do that for our tourist friends come back. But, you know, Jeff, we have 8.5 million visitors that come to Baldwin County every year. They come from the beaches, they come to enjoy that. You know, there's $3.5 billion worth of taxable sales that occur in Foley and Fell Shores and Orange Beach every year. And that's just sales tax alone. And so, you know, the residents of Baldwin County get a really big discount because those sales taxes are paid by a lot of our tourists, right? And so a lot of that goes to our schools and other things that allow us to not pay nearly as much in taxes. So sometimes the tourists can be, you know, a little bit of a, you have to endure it, but there's a huge benefit to it as well.
I'm sure Eddie Tyler up at Bay Minette is appreciative of that sales tax revenue.
Listen, there's no doubt about it. All of the new schools that are being built in Baldwin County are being built with that, and it's about a 60% discount to residents of Baldwin County. So it's a really, really big deal.
You let that one slide. Hey, you've been busy. The pharmacy board, a little bit of a drama there yesterday. What do we need to know?
Well, you know, pharmacy board for sure, but man, the Sunset Committee, and it's kind of a wonky sounding committee, right? But what the legislature did when they formed all these occupational licensing boards was basically say, you're going to sunset, right? You're going to cease to exist if the legislature does not expressly say that you need to continue to exist. And so every 1, 2, 4 years, depending on the committee, looks at these boards and say, hey, do you need to be here or not? Are you providing some public good or providing good for the licensee? What, you know, do you need to be here? Yesterday, for the first time in over 2 decades, the Sunset Board voted to sunset 2 entire occupational licensing boards. We're reducing government, reducing red tape. We also took 3 occupational licensing boards that currently are being run by, believe it or not, you and I've talked about this before, but by lobbyists, right? And we took them and put them under an applicable state agency, right? Either workforce or health or the Department of Mental Health, et cetera. So there's not these separate agencies. So we're consolidating some of that. And then the pharmacy board and all of their antics certainly came up as well. that board has just been fraught with problems because of how they are run, who runs them. It's become a little fiefdom that's not accountable to the public in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So this legislature is working hard to right that. And this has been part of my bigger occupational licensing reform push and something that API and others have been pushing. But I'm telling you what, the Sunset Committee made of both House and Senators, House members and Senators, is really getting it right, and it's working and it's going in the right direction.
Well, I'll give you the opportunity to brag on your boy, Garland Gudger, here, but this is, I think, kind of one of the big changes from the last pro tem to him, that this is a real Sunset Committee that, I mean, it's acting as it had intended to be.
It is, and I'm so excited about it and for it. It is doing what it is supposed to do, and it is doing what Republicans and conservatives said we were going to do, which is reduce the size of government, reduce red tape, and make sure that we, the government, are not a barrier to small businesses operating. And that's exactly what we are in many of these places. That's why we decided to sunset two of these boards. Couldn't find the discernible benefit that they were providing necessarily, and so let's get rid of them. And there's always some constituency, you know, somebody's ox that gets gored, but at the end of the day, that's not a bad thing. That's what we're there to do. So, yes, Senator Gudger is backing us on this. He's put a great chairman in charge of it, leading it, Senator Keith Kelly from Anniston, who did a fantastic job the other day. Of course, you got folks like Senator Gavan and myself on there that push hard on these issues and not just preach, you know, accountability and conservative values, but, man, we're walking it, and it is working.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. I asked Todd Stacey about this and you know, earlier in the show, and he, you know, he's kind of talking about how important all this work is, and I don't disagree. What's taking so long? I mean, really, like, it is a little astounding when you talk about it, and it just seems like a no-brainer. But what happens, Senator, the powers that be kind of keep the status quo in place.
They do. And look, we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. The important thing is we're making progress and we're going in the right direction. And that is where I say it's working. Okay. But why is it taking so long? Well, there's always a constituency. Somebody always knows somebody on this little board or that little board, or somebody's grandma works for this. And there's so many of them. There's like 62 different occupations or licenses in Alabama. There's so many of them. And so it becomes difficult to legislatively, you know, make these changes. But the first part is showing the light. We did that with pharmacy board. We've done that with some of these other boards that are run by lobbyists running state agencies. Let that sink in. Think about how wrong that is. And so we're changing that, and we're getting things back right. It'll take some time, take some patience. There's some work that needs to be done still, but we're getting there.
So a big part of our discussion this morning, and we had Riley McCardle. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's the chairman of the College Republican Federation here, and he's they haven't taken to the streets or anything like a BLM protest down University Boulevard. But he did send a letter to the new president, President Mueller, at the University of Alabama, and it's documented. I know you have at least one professor who really went hard after Charlie Kirk in the wake of his death. And then there's a couple others that he named, but he's just sort of expecting the university to respond. Now, Auburn had a similar situation, and they handled their business. There's a real reluctance from some of your colleagues to even talk about this. They will say, well, let's give the University of Alabama an opportunity to act. It's been 2 weeks. What should our expectations be here? If, you know, there are issues within the University of Alabama system and it doesn't seem like there's much movement there.
Well, first of all, you are correct. They had this issue at Auburn, and I think handled it absolutely the right way, War Eagle. So let's get that out of the way. Second, I'm going to fall in the camp of give the university some time, right? I mean, I know it's frustrating.
Well, how much time do they – let me – sorry to interrupt you, but how much time do they get?
No, weeks, certainly. This is a big organization and a big institution. The fact that we are even talking about this, Jeff, is amazing. When you and I went to school, The liberals ran everything. You would be in trouble for talking about the Bible in class. You would be in trouble for there was no such thing as a Charlie Kirk on campus. Couldn't have existed. When I was at the University of Richmond, I started something called the Richmond Conservative Union, right? We had to almost meet in private this is so much better than it used to be. This ship is turning, it's turning in our direction. And I understand everybody wants it to happen right now. I can promise you that the University of Alabama is aware of this. Good for Riley for putting it on their radar. But I don't want to mess up any action that they're taking in a week or two by not exhibiting a little bit of patience. And I think if you talk to my colleagues, if I'm the guy saying be patient, maybe we should be just a little bit patient. But I think give them a couple of weeks and let's see where we are. And you and I can talk about it three Fridays from now. And I'll be a little tougher if we're not, hadn't seen some movie.
It just seems like a long time. And I watched what happened at Clemson, and the reaction was instantaneous. The federal delegation has weighed in. Our federal lawmakers have, and I think it's, a month is a long time here. I know the wheels of justice move slow, I guess, but Senator, I at least be responsive to these guys who are students there who don't like when someone they looked up to is killed in broad daylight. And you have a journalism professor, and among others, reportedly, who are kind of dancing on his dead body.
Which is completely inappropriate, okay? So don't mistake what I'm saying. It's completely inappropriate, and there ought to be action taken. I'm just saying, give them a little bit of time. I think you will see it, and I think you will see it in short order. But they need to do something. They will do something. And the actions and the speech of that professor is totally inappropriate. So I'm weighing in too, for whatever it's worth. But I am gonna give the university some time before I start jumping on their head about this and saying, listen, let's see if y'all can get this right. There are certainly other examples, some in the state, War Eagle, who have done just that. So let's see if we can get it right.
Senator, I didn't see on your Facebook profile checked or marked safe from the municipal election cycle, but any reactions to the last, the last 6 months?
I have one thing that I think is worth pointing out, and I'll say this. You remember a police jurisdiction and extraterritorial jurisdiction bill back in 2021 that was all everybody's discussion,
yeah.
Right? Subsequent to that, you had an annexations in Mobile that added over 19,000 people in the city of Mobile. How different would that race have gone without that?
I mean,
how
that
different
been
would
it.
That race have gone?
Well,
and so congratulations to Mayor Shurgotis, and congratulations to Mayor Simpson, who I saw last night. We and I talked about this just a little bit, but sometimes those legislative acts that we work on in Montgomery have real meaningful, lasting change. And I think what we saw was we kept ourselves from having a Montgomery South in Mobile, and that is a wonderful thing, and I'm thrilled for it.
So let me get this right. Spiro Charagotis, part of his election victory is due at least in part to Senator Elliott in 2021. Wow. I'll take that as a yes or no there. But I guess now that this is wrapped up, Senator, We're heading into the 26th cycle. The one race, I think we have lost Senator Elliott there. Let's see if we could get him back. 251-343-0106 if you want to be in touch with the program. Hey, Senator, as I was saying before, I guess it dropped, but at least Spiro Charagotis owes his election win in part to your 2021 bill is my takeaway from that those comments.
Well, my point there is that there are important things that happen in Montgomery that make real meaningful change, and I think what we dodged in small part because of that legislation, but what we dodged was having the Montgomery South in Mobile, and we don't need that in South Alabama, and congratulations to Mayor-elect Trigotis and to Mayor Stimson for the work that they put in to make this, you know, a great city and continue to be a great city. A hard-fought campaign and won. But I'm just glad. I'm glad that, that the legislature is looking ahead at things like that and trying to make meaningful change to keep us out of the situations like Montgomery's in.
Last question. We'll get you out of here on this. Just the 26th cycle now, I guess these municipal elections have kind of cleared out. But, I mean, the AG race is already getting way, way, way chippier than even I would like. But the now we're going to – it feels like we're really going to probably in the coming weeks really see this cycle really kick into high gear.
Well, I think you're right. You know, quarterfinal close the end of January. So we'll really see things happen then. You're starting to see some legislative races kind of heat up again. The AG's race is just weird. I don't understand the timing and the messaging on some of that stuff. And I'll say this, if you're trying to make Katherine Robertson look like a liberal or look like a pro-abort or whatever, Katherine Robertson is one of the most conservative people and toughest people I've ever known. And so the messaging on that is wonky to me. But we'll let those candidates make their cases and do their thing. But I think you're seeing more influence from consultants than anybody else. And I would just challenge everybody, whether it's me or Catherine or anybody else, you know, get to know the candidate and really do your research. Don't just listen to a text message or something you get in the mail, because it's probably hyperbolic.
Well, and I'll ask you this. Todd and I were talking about this earlier. Now, the 2010 gubernatorial election, Tim James and Bradley Byrne got after it really early. But I can't think of another race like this where we've seen this much sniping back and forth 6 months away from the actual vote.
No, and I think it's ill-advised, right? I really do. I mean, people need to get to know you first before they get to know the negative. And so, you know, I've certainly seen more sniping from one camp than the other, but maybe I'm on the wrong text message list or different from you. But I'll just say, you know, I think these candidates need to get their name out, get, you know, their priorities out before they start talking about anybody else. And that goes for everybody, you know, me or, you know, representative, you know, Fiddler or whoever, you know, you got to get your name out. You got to talk about your mission, what you're going to do, what your accomplishments have been, before you head into somebody else.
Senator, we'll leave it there. You're always very kind to make time for us. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk again in 3 weeks about Alabama.
All right, I'll circle on my calendar. Say Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.